when you start talking about becoming involved in the political process then, is there a parallel today in terms of, for instance, organizing for voter registration in the black community to overcome some of the region
education? Overcome some anybody's stuff. Now, I have to truthfully say to you that the Reagan administration had not done any worse than any administration as far as Kufuor is concerned. Well, Reagan may be whatever he is, but I cannot, if you look at our fight, nobody has really opened up and done anything that would move us from dependency to independence. And when we first got started in welfare rights, you got to remember John F. Kennedy was the president. We went from there to Johnson. In the state of California, when we first was organized, Edmund G. Padbound Sr. was the governor. Okay? We didn't have three governors before Duke Major. Okay? Before Reagan was the governor of the state, welfare recipients in the AFCC category had not had a raise in 18 years. The cost of living raise every year came under Reagan administration as the governor. Okay? The cost of living being decreased and not getting that raise every year came under the administration of Jerry Padbound. All right? So now, well, like I said, when it comes to your CD program, your poverty program started under Kennedy, then Johnson. Your CD jobs program came under Nixon. The cut out of CEDA program come on Jimmy Carter, okay? So when it comes to them folk, I can't say one administration is any better than any other. Because Johnson finished where Kennedy started. Nixon tried to finish where Johnson started. Gerald Ford tried to finish what Nixon started. Jimmy tried to finish what Gerald Ford started. And Ronald Reagan is trying to finish what all of them started. So as old as he is, I don't think he's going to make it. So he's still in trouble. If he's reelected, we're in trouble. Mandela ain't going to do no more for black folks or poor folks than any of them folks up there. Because there's some folks up there not going to let him do it. And we might as well quit fooling ourselves.
So does that mean for you then that the only political activity to be involved in is much more local rather than national?
I think we have to be involved in it always. Just because I know and you know that they don't do nothing, it doesn't matter. We're going to have a struggle. Don't mean that we stop struggling, whoever is there. We still have to be involved in political process. You know, somebody got to go, we got to go to the polls and vote. We got to exercise that right. Whether you black, whether you green, whatever, whether you rich, middle class, or poor, you have that vehicle that you can go and punch the hole. And I'm interested in people going and punching it. If you want to punch it for Jesse Jackson, punch it. Don't stay home. If you're going to punch it for Mandela, punch it. If you're going to punch it for Reagan, punch it. Just don't punch the hole. At least we have that working for us. And I would suggest that women of all races or whatever, if women want to put a movement against Reagan, then I think women ought to do that. We're supposed to live in a freedom of speech, and that's one of the ways we are free to speak, and that's through the ballot box. And I think women, if women want to organize against the Reagan administration, I think women ought to do that. They want to organize for our administration, I think they ought to do that. Let's see who the best will put the stuff together.
What do you think has to be done in order to achieve the kind of society you want?
When I think of creating the kind of society that I would want, I have to think about Lou Rawls and Tobacco Road. And that's where Lou sings his song about, you know, you have to blow it up, and you have to tear it down, and then you have to build it like it should be built from its own foundation. And after 30, our Social Security program goes back to 1935, so that means we'd have to dig up, do a whole lot of blowing up, dynamiting, and then laying up some foundation. I'd like to see that done. I don't know, I don't believe that in the 80s and the 90s that's going to be done by anybody. I think they're still tacking boards on top of boards.
Boarding up the windows and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Each one comes in, he tacks a little bit. Instead of, let's stop and let's just tear this whole thing down. And then let's do the thing. And everybody, the sad thing about it, everybody comes in, think this thing is better than somebody else's, and it's the same thing. You're dealing with the same congressional people.
Mm-hmm. They're the same people with the money.
Senator, the ones who got the money to put them back up in office and tell them what it is they want done.
Mm-hmm.
Still dealing with them. So, if I had my way, I just had the whole damn thing down. Everybody in the state of California that wanted to work. And I wouldn't be bothered with the ones who didn't want to work. I wouldn't waste no time. But first, everybody who want to work can make a good living so we don't, and you can pay back into the system if they're all about money. Because you're going to take away something back. No matter where in the world, you're going to give me everything I make. Because it seems to me that the more people working and putting back in the system is that you'd have them. Everybody's based on money. Based, you can have it, because you ain't no way in the world you're going to let me make $17,000 a year and let me go home with $17,000 a year. I got to pay at least $2,000 to $3,000 of that back in it. So I wouldn't worry about who don't want to work now. Everybody that wanted to work, I made sure that they had proper education, proper motivation, the job created, the money to go with the production, and let everybody go home. Because they're going to buy a house, they're going to buy food, they're going to buy a car, especially in the state of California. You better have one, don't you? In trouble, a bus or something. They're going to buy some stuff. So the money comes right back to the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have that many folks on the relief roll. Because we talk about folks who want to work ready.
Mm-hmm.
But see what we have now? We have somebody coming out with some bull kinds of stuff. They want a training program. Never heard it. My daughter told me when she was 16 years old, she was reading something I brought home about training with them. She said, you know, this is why you got a lot of folk on welfare. Because you always want to train somebody. You don't train people, Mama. She said you train animals. You teach people. There's a difference in teaching and training. That's why when you get through the training program, it's your people just where they was when they got started. So they want you to try and teach it. You know, she said, when you train an animal, you say, sit, spot, get up, spot, walk, spot. That's what you do to people. And people don't supposed to be trained. treated like that. So I wouldn't deal with the training program. I would take her as a word and do a teaching program. Folks would teach you how to. There's a little gadget that goes in the airplane wings. But I could do if I was stuck. Miss Johnson could do. She could sit right over where she is now and do it. And she wouldn't have to wait for a general release. Then she'd put something back into the system because they're not going to let her take all the money home. That's understood. We don't mind that. But you let us take more of it home than you would give us through a welfare check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the folks who don't want to work, if you weed out folks who don't want to work and folks who do want to work, you wouldn't even, just wouldn't even bother you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could get him a welfare check. No problem. Because you'd have the money to do it with. Folks don't care. I don't care about woman on welfare with 2-3 babies and that little money that we're giving her. You're taking that out of my, if that's all you was doing with taking it out of my pay, I don't have no problem. Now, I got some problem with taking it and doing what they want to do with it.
Well, they're spending more than if they just paid someone directly.
Right. So you don't want to give this lady and this boy no beans and bread, just nowhere for him to stay. The minute he become 18 years old, you want to give him a gun to go kill somebody. And then once you send him over there to kill somebody, and he get all shot up and banged up, you don't want to feed him and give him a place to stay when he get back home. Now, I don't like for you to mess with my money like that. But if I had to work, made $20,000, and you wanted to take $12,000 of it and put it in the program with my help, her grandson, my grandson, to get what he need to get the right kind of education to prepare him to take this job that I have when I'm gone, no problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I got some problem when you send it to some other foreign country to buy them some shells and stuff to shoot somebody mm-hmm. else with. When you sit down on the right to building of that big hotel down there, and my child can't even get into the dishwashing to be a dishwasher, then I got some problems with going my money like that. And I think a lot of other folks got the same problem. But they don't understand what the problem is, so they think that cost of ladies on welfare is a drain on their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't like the idea that we're talking about women buying Cadillacs on welfare. I went to the White House one day, they got a fleet of welfare Cadillacs.
Well, that's what I was going to comment on, that one of the, I think, one of the best documents that came out of the early welfare rights movement was this, the piece on welfare, that the welfare for poor folks and the welfare for the rich folks, and the analysis of all of the government support for industry and for the rich folks.
Yeah. But they got Cadillacs parked around on 16th Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, that's, they pay for the gas. You know, with Air Force One, I pay for that. You know, who everybody flies Air Force
mm-hmm.
One. So Jimmy flew it. I paid for his too. Richard, I paid for his. You know, everybody paid for that Air Force One. And that thing, and now it's coming to Santa Barbara so often. So I don't know whether, you know, maybe the White House ought to be out in Santa Barbara. But it comes, right, it takes a whole lot of fuel
mm-hmm.
to fly that sucker from the Atlantic to the Pacific coast. It takes a lot of fuel. We pay for it.
Well, in terms of the issue of just organizing in the community, do you see in the past 20 years changes in the work you've done and the effect that it's had?
Yeah, I guess I can say that we do, because I think we have more people aware of what's happening to them. We get calls every day that there was a time there was nowhere to go. There was nobody to give information that comes before them. I think that's something that we didn't have
mm-hmm.
before.
Have you read that Fox and Piven criticism of the National Welfare Rights
Organization. Oh, yeah, I know about them.
Where they said basically that because it was a Band-Aid operation, in effect, trying to help people all along, it wasn't radical enough and therefore could never change anything.
Well, Pivens and Cloward are social workers,
mm-hmm.
okay? They come from the School of Social Work. When I organized ANC Mothers and got involved in California Welfare Rights, I never heard of a Frances Piven Cloward.
Yeah.
I never heard of those folks. They weren't in down on Central Avenue. You know, they weren't over at Southbell in the welfare department. They weren't ones that was complaining about the midnight raids. They was not the one who was complaining that social workers come before for, you know, visiting when they mm-hmm. wanted to. You know, they weren't the one that's doing it. The women who were actually getting the check and being treated like that is the one who was doing the complaining to me. So Pivens and Cloward had nothing to do with the Johnny Tillman being able to go to Mr. Griggs and say, hey, we got a problem out here. Being able to go to the ladies and say, hey, let's do something about our own problem. Never heard of Frances Piven or Richard Cloward till 1967. And I was already almost three and a half, four years on into our program. So they didn't do anything mm-hmm. for me. They didn't motivate me whatsoever. Welfare, right? They found us. We didn't have to find them. The women in New York and all the country marched. Okay? They marched. I don't remember seeing Frances Pivens or Richard Cloward on nobody speaking. All they ever do was stand around and drink coffee and write books.
Write papers.
Write papers. That's all I understood them to do. And for a long time, I don't know what they had against me. Personally, the first time Big Cloud spoke to me was in 72 as a person, was in 73. You know, they had connections with the mothers, some of the mothers in New York. I didn't need Frances Pivens and Richard Cloward to tell me. I was the one on welfare. I didn't need them to tell me what it was that I needed to do to get myself off of it. Right, in Los Angeles, we didn't have a lot of marching in the streets. Mm-hmm. But you know why we didn't have a lot of marching in the streets? But we never had power with administration in this county. A lot of the marching in the streets and in New York and other places because those folk could not sit down and talk to their county administrators. We could. We never might not have got nothing done, but at least we didn't have to go march
mm-hmm.
for them to get heard. Well, that we didn't have to do. And a lot of other folks had to do.
Mm-hmm. What do you think accounted for that difference in L.A. compared to the other cities?
I really don't know. I think Mr. Murphy had an open mind. Himself. He really had an open mind. However, he had five bosses and he had to dance by their music. But I think Mr. Murphy was a very liberal kind of person. Plus, he worked himself up to directorship because he was one time a social worker himself. And so I believe that his thinking was liberal. However, a lot of times when he went before the board, there were some things the board would not allow him to do as a director of welfare. So, and what he also done was all of his deputies, once we were out there making contact, all the people that worked under him had memos that they had to communicate with us.
Mm.
And the other people did not have it. Than I have.
And how about in county government? Was there anyone besides Han who was supportive on the Board of Supervisors?
Oh, yeah. You had some more people that was for. I think Supervisor Han used to stand out farther than
mm-hmm.
others
mm-hmm.
did. And he spoke when he was in his young days, because he's still raising sand now. He spoke
She spoke up for people in the district,
mm-hmm.
whether they was rich or poor,
mm-hmm.
Whatever the issue was. I think he's fair, really been fair and tried to stick to this and try to do things for, mm-hmm. for his constituency in his district. So he was kind of, that was another one down there. A long time ago, I don't remember them now. But we used to go
mm-hmm.
down a lot. But we used to go in without any kind of, you've always been able to get on the agenda. But just for the hell of it, we never wanted to get on the agenda. We used to just bus on in and walk on. And then Kim Thompson, as I was coming, so we'd have, they'd had to give us some time, and we'll find out. He made sure whether he was a chairman or not. He
mm-hmm.
had to let him speak since they was here. So last time I went to that board, and that night it was 300 of us. And
but
it was really
was
fun. I don't remember. It must have been late 60s, early part of 70, maybe around 68 or 69. But about 300. Are you guys leaving? Oh, about 300 or more was went that morning.
Do you remember what the issue was over?
The issue was jobs. And we all went with signed, was filled out applications, about 1,000 applications. At that time, Catherine Germany was running the county welfare rights organization. So we marched that morning, and about 300 went in to fill up the auditorium and stood all around the walls. And they gave us the mic. And we said we talked about the jobs. And then Catherine had this bag of applications that we'd gotten, about 1,000 of them. She took them up and gave them. And one of them must have been Warren, what's his name?
Dorn. Yeah.
Must have been Dorn said they were talking about, they used to give us special needs, you know, like bed, stove,
mm-hmm.
refrigerators, and that was an issue. And Dawn said, well, I guess this is what these people here to talk about this morning, and he was so wrong. He said, no, we don't want to talk about stoves and refrigerators, so we got some jobs we can buy these. I said, we're going to talk about jobs today. And they went, huh, what? We'll talk about jobs. And Captain gave them this 1,000 applications that we had gotten. And I said, well, we don't have any job. She said, but you got influence folks who do have jobs to give us work. So then we left. Then we decided we'd go downstairs and eat and don't pay you. So we went down to Captain, and we about 80 folks got served before they realized what we were doing. We charged it upstairs, fill up the tray, charged the kettle home, and ended it. And we, about 80 people got this lunch before they realized they was in trouble, because everybody was eating good. Down there, we left there, and we went to 107th and Broadway. And we filed for some papers. Just was a day's activity. So we filed for papers. Some of the, I guess this was the, excuse me.
You were saying you went down to 107th.
107th Broadway. That's at the
mm-hmm.
stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we going to do when we get here? Let's file. I told the mother, let's file for fair here. Anything. Some of the ladies did get some money, though, that they didn't know they were entitled to. Oh, they're 107th
yeah.
Street? Oh, well, we just went in and some of the ladies filed for fair hearings. They had fair and form, so filed for a fair hearing. It was a day of activity. And I understand some of the mothers had money back in. And the court trustees that had to run up to $200 that they hadn't ever gotten, they got that, and, you know, whatever.
Were there many days that you would do that, a day of activities, and go down to the Board of Supervisors?
We had certain times we used to do it a year. We used to do it on June 30th, which was a welfare rights celebration nationwide. That's when a group of people left Cleveland, walking to Columbus, Ohio, and they reached there on June 30th, and it was called a walk. And they walked from over 100 miles, and the day they reached to Columbus, the capital, then groups across the country did something in that state. I don't know, next year, this year, I might, if I have the time, I just might make some communications across the country and see if we can kind of do that again.
Mm-hmm. Because right now it's pretty scattered and just individuals like you who are still.
Well, I have like contact with Newport News, Virginia, Margaret Hayes, who was served as our first vice president of Welfare Rights, and then I have contact in Memphis, Tennessee, and then I have contact in Mandy Smart, who's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There was about Mary Kidd is still up in Newark, New Jersey, and then we got a lady still in Boston, Massachusetts, and Nancy Willis is still working in Chicago. We got Ms. Bragg is still working in Detroit, Michigan. Who else? I believe Dorothy, Barbara's name is Little Rock, Arkansas, Hampton, still in Little Rock, doing.
And you are in communication with each other periodically?
Yes, I still have my roster.
Uh-huh.
I have Faith Evans is still doing some stuff in Washington, D.C., and he's working for the churches. And last couple years ago, they needed to Percy Pinkner, at that time working for Jerry Brown, needed to make some contact back in Washington, and I was able to send him to somebody in Washington, D.C., and the girl helped him do what he needed to do there. So that's still, I still have my list. Miss Matthews down in Atlanta, Georgia. Miss Taylor down in Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay.